Hoskins thing. It's
okay.
And then a sign flashes over your head. And we quiz you. Maximum 20 questions.
I think you saw me at the Sierra Club thing on the Greenberg Nature Center, maybe?
Oh, maybe. But you look familiar. Yeah. Yeah. But you're not related to John Peck.
No.
He's the arts council person.
You might may yeah. have. Yeah. George Klein is the chapter head.
Yes.
He's
well.
Great. Yeah. Sue Leifer is one of my teachers.
Yeah. This is wonderful.
And the Schultzes.
Oh, I like the Schultzes.
I've been told out there okay.
I went out to lunch with them.
Yeah, they're okay. They're okay.
I like it when.
Jules.
Shut up.
Yeah, sometimes they go at each other.
She does.
Organization, farmland, and
do it.
Ag.
That's absolutely that's fine. Whatever describes you, six words or less.
Yeah, as soon as his wife was on the airport advisory board, I wonder if they're going to renew her.
She. Oh, yeah, I guess she is. Yeah, she is.
She should be. She's a biggie. I mean, she really has such an interest for Sierra.
I've been sending out. Thank you very much for your contribution letters.
She's doing a lot on the gas task force right now.
For
the Marcellus Shale.
Oh, is that what she's doing? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you see Cortland passed a resolution on saying that no gas companies could take any of their water?
No, that's interesting.
Yeah, I just saw it on the.
Wow. Yeah.
The question is,
where
does Cortland get its water from? In the city?
Hudson.
Oh, they get it from Hudson?
I think they have riparian rights to the Hudson, right?
Yeah, they do have riparian rights. So a lot of us along there, but no, they get theirs from the watershed, Catskills. Yeah.
But they think they.
The question whether that has any enforceability at all to it. But the point is that they're Cortland has generally taken a lot stronger lead in things than other places have. So when they do it, people pay attention.
Yeah.
And that's good. So
yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see.
John's the guy who got us free passes to see
Gasland.
A year ago.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Yes, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
Did you see
put
what?
Match to your faucet.
Oh God! Did you see what Mike? You came in late to just our previous meeting. Mike Kaplowitz is chair of the Environment Committee now, and he brought his daughter goes to Penn State in around Pittsburgh.
No, he goes to Pitt. She goes to Pitt.
Oh, whatever. I didn't know, but wherever he was in Pittsburgh, and he brought the newspaper from Pittsburgh that has this huge, big. It was some insert, I guess. This huge, big thing about how this gasification is the next best thing to sliced bread, and I mean, it was so totally opposite what was in the New York Times. I mean, completely
New York Times
opposite.
Had two articles that were pretty good.
They were
at
good.
Least two. They started really slamming.
Yeah.
Every
but it's amazing to see. Sort of, and basically, the Pittsburgh paper is saying, you know, well, the jury's still out on whether there's any environmental dangers. And
if you don't
jury's
the
still
dumping,
out.
The dumping of the produced water into the.
It's just to stop and really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, meanwhile, let's talk about protecting farms.
Okay.
My traditional question is, what the hell you want to do this for? You got a busy enough life.
I do have a very busy life. The ag districts was very, very helpful. My day job is I have a farm. I have a commercial horse boarding farm in Yorktown Heights. It's about 30 acres, a little less than 30 acres. We have 30 to 40 horses.
And where is it?
On Baptist Church Road.
Oh, okay.
The event for John Hall.
Yeah, that's great. Were you there? It was wonderful. Yeah. Anyway, so you have seen the farm.
Seen the farm.
We purchased the property in 2002.
Legislator John Testa.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Hi, how
are you?
Nice to meet you. We purchased the property in 2002, and at the time, my running of a business there, I guess this is like, maybe you want a shorter story than this. But my running of the business there was on a variance. And it had to be renewed every 3 years, according to the paperwork that we got at when we were purchasing the place. So we went to renew. Our variance was up in the summer of 2002. So we or three, I can't really remember. And we went to the town to try to get in front of the zoning board so we could continue the variance, because you just had to renew it. And the people we had got it from had put that variance in place. And Pataki, in 2002, named commercial horse boarding facilities as agricultural. Mm-hmm. So it's relatively new for horse farms to be in considered agriculture and be in agricultural mm-hmm. districts. When I was talking informally to one of the to the zoning board or planning board members, I kind of forgot, he kind of pulled me aside and he said, call Bob Somers in Albany and find out about agricultural districts. So I did, because my neighbor, I had a very pesky neighbor that was, on condition of the renewals, she wanted to really restrict my truck traffic. We were about to offer to put up some very expensive screening between her house and our house. And her response to that was, but then I won't be able to see what's going on. So I'm like, okay.
Nanny cams.
Yeah.
So anyway, the result was that we were eligible to be in the agricultural district. We were anyway, as far as land taxes were concerned. And Bob Somers, some people came down from Albany. They saw the farm. They helped me with the zoning, and the short story was the variance was thrown out. I don't need a variance to run a business there because I'm in an ag district and I comply. Yeah. So that's terrific for me. And that started me getting, you know, realizing that government actually, you know, has some good things that it does. And I guess it's kind of give back. You know, Mike Tignelli called me a year or so ago and said, do you have any interest on being in the board? And it'd be great to have more people that are working farmers on it. And so I've been to a couple of meetings, and it seems like a good thing. And I helped with getting the word out in the fall to try to support the redistricting. I came to a couple of meetings here. I think I spoke at one.
That's the answer. You're involved in the district as a farmer, and that's not a bad idea, Mr. Testa.
Well, obviously you have the experience and the willingness to do it and the desire to do it, but you know, obviously that they're going through the certification process of new farms,
site reviews and things.
You
yeah.
feel comfortable being as a horse farm. Experience to do a regular chicken farm, you know, or other types of farm. Do you feel comfortable?
Yeah, the
doing
criteria
that?
Is fairly. I mean, would I be comfortable saying, "Oh, this guy's going to lose his shirt, or he's going to make $1 million"? No, but I could certainly see if it looked from the criteria.
Right.
I think a lot of the new applications are horse farms.
Yes, they are.
Yes, and that's actually. I think that's. As far as I'm concerned, you know, from a business person's viewpoint, more horse farms is not a bad thing, because there's a lot of population in Westchester County that wants to ride, so it's not a you know, like, oh, I wouldn't want them to,
right.
to start up.
Right. Right. No.
Do it. No.
Do you do
heifers?
Do
no.
You provide heifers?
No. No. I think a river. One next to Twin Lakes, mm-hmm. the county. I think they do.
Although they may have moved.
Yeah, River Ridge. No?
River Ridge.
I think they moved.
Well, I think the guy that's running Twin Lakes got the.
That's right.
Is taking over River Ridge,
yeah.
But I don't know if he's changing the facility.
I don't know. My questions really have all been answered. But I do know we've heard extensively from Barbara Wilkins that. You know, they need members, that they are looking for people who have farms, be they horse or produce. So I think this is great.
Terrific. Mr. Nolan.
No question.
I must say, yeah. the district that I represent.
Beautiful, but what a place to have events.
Yeah, that was great.
the district I represent, which is the South Shore area, basically. I must admit, we don't have any farms other than, you know, what we see represented on the at Metro North stations on the weekends.
And sludge farms, because
and we have
just
sludge farms, yes.
Sludge.
Lovely.
I have the Rockefeller farms in my district. I have Mechanical Hills.
Oh, that's beautiful.
In fact, two of them just applied. They have a horse farm. Carolyn John Lydon. I don't know if you know them.
I don't know them. Yeah, no, I saw the list. I don't know them, actually.
And you've got the two over on
Hudson
117.
Hudson Pines. Is the,
well, 117.
And two horse farms on 117.
Yeah, well, yeah. So yeah, you're a big farm district. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very
thank
much
thank
for
you.
Serving,
you.
Which is yeah. the other part yeah. of it.
Well,
and it's an active board, too. It's pretty active.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And considering we don't pay them, it's amazing. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I spoke at the Bronx River Coalition at Botanical Garden about the
oh, did
water.
You? Yeah, thank you for doing that.
But I started out by saying, you know, I'm from Westchester County, and we are such a diverse. We have the 10 largest cities in the state. Plus, we have horse farms, produce
really
farms,
diverse,
rural areas,
oh,
and then
yeah.
we have suburban, ex-urban,
yep.
and everything in between.
Yeah, yeah.
Really
great county, actually.
I know it.
Okay.
All right. Thank
you very much.
Thank you.
Keep
thank
going
you.
To the meetings. Keep going. We're absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a really fast question for you.
Hi. Yeah, I'll walk you out.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I got to go upstairs and talk
get a,
to Kevin.
Get a late
come
starter.
On, send him in.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll be right back.
Wish
we'll
late
started.
Okay.
Yeah. Were you hi. Upstairs?
Yeah, on this
you
wanna, lawsuit for corrections office.
You want to vote her out?
You
want to
vote her out?
Yeah,
yes,
we will.
So move. Nice second. To meet you, Commissioner.
All in favor say aye. Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
See you again. How are you?
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Well.
You can just sign in, please.
That's, I have to sign this sheet. Can you send me the membership,
the clipboard
sheet for us?
You did.
I did? Oh,
yeah.
I forgot I did.
Oh, everybody's hungry, right?
Yeah. Okay, that's why I have it back.
That's why you're there.
You called earlier today.
Well, I called to see how was it traveling down, going down here.
I left at 6:30, so.
Right up, somebody closed. 202
was closed, but I went around the reservoir. And the only place I hit trouble was on the Bronx River by the cemetery. But just drove around, came out by the dam.
So. Yeah, my wife did the same thing. It was
yeah.
terrific.
It wasn't that big. Actually, even so early, there was nobody on the road. Yeah. Last night with me, I had a
thank you.
Oh,
by,
coming out of the Irish dinner last
where,
night.
Where the Bear Mountain Parkway meets 202 there, where Curry is, that whole area was under 3-4 feet of water. It was unbelievable.
I got home just in time to make sure everything, my basement started to get a little wet.
Oh,
I got stuck in Florida.
You were in Florida?
3 hours away this morning.
Now, is this an Irish bespoke seat with people whose last name begin
well,
first or
name
first
Kevin.
Name begins with K?
I just thought that you had to come from Maryland or something.
Oh, okay, that's what it is. It's a Maryland seat.
It is interesting.
I take it that the fix was not in on this.
No.
So talk to us. Tell us what the hell you're doing here.
Well, I've been working in social services for about 30 years. I worked for first 22 in New York City, New York City's Human Resources Administration, and whatever previous iterations that they happen to call themselves prior to that. Done just about everything you can think about in a local department of social services. In 2003, I was asked if I could come down to Maryland and help them out. It was a great opportunity, so I jumped at it and did pretty well. Worked there for 8 years, gained a lot of experience, and got a call, somebody, same sort of thing, asking, would you be interested in coming back home and working in New York as the commissioner in Westchester County? And I couldn't be happier.
What's home mean? You grew
New
up
York
there?
Area. Well, actually, I grew up in the Bronx, but I actually lived for a little while in Westchester. I lived in Yonkers, 530 Riverdale Avenue. But when I was younger, when I was a younger lad, when I first got out of college. But yeah, I've grown up in the New York City area and spent a lot of time in Westchester.
And what would you concrete from this. What, given the way we managed to mess around with your staff, your structure, with the retirements and the buyouts and all the rest of it, how much damage have we done?
I don't know if it's so much the word damage or anything like that. I have to tell you, I got a really good staff. I mean, I come on board, and one of the first things that happens is I get a notification that the child welfare operation was just accredited by the Council of Accreditation. Now, I actually went through that process in Maryland for the entire state agency, and it was a rather laborious and exacting process, so I know what went into getting that sort of accreditation. It's been, the last couple of months has been an interesting education. We're still able to get applications out. Child welfare operations is doing pretty well. I mean, the staff is pretty good. Some of my challenge has to be with managing it. I am basically running, directly report all the child welfare operations and all the welfare operations. So it's, well, it's a good way to learn how everything is being done. I'm not quite sure how much longer you can go on running an agency of that size, a $500 million agency, and basically run it by myself. I mean,
we did strip out a few deputy commissioners.
Yes, you did. When I came here, I had one, and that was basically from what I believe the county charter, at least from what I've read, will allow you to have a deputy. That deputy is basically running finance and my administrative sort of apparatus and stuff, but everything else that has to do with operations and the actual rubber meets the road is reporting to me.
And those people are titled what? Not deputies, but assistant commissioners, or what's there?
I have one person that is a deputy commissioner.
Yeah, but I mean the others that were
assistant. Well,
what are those people that report to you?
Oh, it's a combination of assistant commissioners, associate commissioners, the child welfare or managers. So it's a sort of combination of different sort of titles. It's whatever people were reporting to when they had a deputy, I got. So in some cases, adult protective services is a manager, you know, whereas a child protective is a senior manager. On the public assistance side, I have assistant deputies, commissioners, and associate commissioners. That's why I'm sure with the associate commissioner. I guess it's the associate with the deputies or associate with the commissioners. But,
the academic description.
Yeah, right.
So have you made any one of them first among equals, or how have you really worked this? You can't have 30 people reporting to you.
It's basically what I do. My child welfare directors, the senior managers, from what I see, I spend lots of time with them and lots of attention with them. The public assistance managers, it's critical, but I need to have the pulse of what's going on with Child Protective Services, like, all the time. I mean, and it has been all the time, and it has been nights and weekends and all sorts of stuff. I mean, since I got here, I've had a number of cases, some of which were fatalities, some of near fatalities, some of which, you know, we've had everything handled themselves all right, and, you know, we're doing well with the families and stuff like that, but it's a real challenge.
Okay, Mr. Donner.
Yeah, well, I want to raise something with you first that I think you solved, but it really was troublesome. I got an email and exchanged some emails with a constituent named Patrick Kilkenny. And it was really troublesome because he said that he called, he was applying for food stamps, he's disabled, and let me just get his comments here, and he was disabled and he was applying for food stamps and he made, I don't know how many calls to the social services department and got no response. And he was extremely upset about this. He emailed me because he couldn't find how to contact you on the website. And I did pass on your email, and you somehow, you took care of it. Because then I spoke to somebody, Ms. Velasquez.
Yes, Velasquez.
I don't remember the situation,
yes.
But I mean, we again, this probably, you just came on board, so you're not responsible for this, and you solved the problem, but this can't happen. I mean, he said, how many calls did he make? First of all, they gave him a big problem about his identification, even though he had a passport. Mm-hmm. And
which
he
really
said he made
standard.
50-plus phone calls to a Ms. Ash, who did not return any of his calls.
Wow.
And her voicemail was full for 3 weeks. And then he called a Ms. Torres, whom she refers in case of emergency, call Ms. Torres, and never received a phone call back. And so he called several other people, and it wasn't until he finally got a hold of your office that he got any attention. And, you know, this is a person who is disabled. I just hope we can prevent that from happening again.
Yeah. I don't want to have stuff like that.
It shouldn't have to come
again.
To
and
you.
And I'm not even, well, if it does, I'm going to take care of it. And that's something I've been doing my entire professional career.
Right.
If I get a problem, I don't turn my back on it. I want to make sure it gets resolved. One of the things that I've always saw has a lot of worth is constituent service. Mm-hmm. It helps me on a very sort of practical level. I get a pulse of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, it gives me an idea of sometimes what, because sometimes when everything goes wrong, I get an idea of what I need to make things do right, you know, go right. Mm-hmm. I saw the same thing when I was in New York City. I had actually done, I was sometimes in New York, I was the guy that resolved a lot of things. And, mm-hmm. and you know, part of my job was one thing, and it was always, well, part of the reason I got some of the jobs I had was that I was always willing to step up and take responsibility and try to resolve the issues that were out there.
We're setting up kind of like an ombudsman number if someone is getting the runaround from some section that they could call. Somebody that reports right under you.
Ms. Velasquez. Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll pick up my phone.
Okay.
She'll pick up my phone. So you call my number, and it's usually Ms. Velasquez, especially in the evening.
Yeah.
I even got a compliment on her. I was up in Albany, and the acting commissioner up there actually made a phone call, and it was like after 6, she picked up the phone and resolved it, and she says, you're the first county that I've called that somebody was still there. I said, well, you know, we got dedicated employees.
Yeah, well, I called her, and she was responsive about this problem, but after Mr. Kilkenny told me he forced your attention, she was responding.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're following that down. I remember when I first heard about it, I said, was the poor gentleman calling somebody who actually wasn't there anymore? You know, somebody that he knew how to contact, maybe it was that. We can also go through, when people make phone calls, they are recorded. So if we know the dates and stuff like that, we can also go back
and
see.
And call it up and see whether in fact it was.
I had asked Jane to do that, and I haven't heard anything back yet for her, but I could probably.
So her first name is Jane?
Yeah,
Jane
Velasquez.
Terrific.
She's very good. You guys, if you ever want to call her, I mean, you know,
right.
That was
we'll make her the official flat catcher.
Well, it was the first thing when I came in. Is that, you know, who's my go-to person? Who's my constituent service person? And it, you know, it's like a day or so. I finally went walking around, and it was like late in the day, and it was like one that I've been looking for.
Have you had much? Have you had much contact? Like, have you made a point since you came on board to meet with the contract provider.
Yeah, as much as I possibly can, you know, get time and stuff like that. Yeah, I've been meeting with people, providing a whole different range of services from homelessness to mental health to child welfare services and things like that. I've been to Children's Village. I've been to a number of different places.
Yeah, I in my district is the Volunteers of America shelter in Valhalla, which is actually.
Freedom.
A very well-run shelter. They do a great job there. They place a lot of people out every month into, you know, either independent living or some sort of transitional housing. The one concern we had in the last meeting with them was the state has this, I can't remember the actual name of the program, it's a program that provides rent subsidies to homeless people coming out of homeless shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd asked the question that the person from your department wasn't quite sure the answer. Whether that's the state's cutting that out, whether they're cutting that program out. It provides 2 years of support.
I'm not sure of that. I mean, I'm still trying to get around some of the acronyms that exist here in New York State. I'm just sort of wiping my my memory clean of the stuff down in Maryland. You know, sometimes it's almost similar sort of names.
Yeah.
Sometimes they copy the federal grants.
This is
stuff
a state
like that.
Program that provides, and Mail ultimately is the federal government,
right.
But the state provides basically a rental assistance, I think it's called.
It's not emergency shelter grants.
It's RAP.
No.
RAP.
Oh, yeah. That's
RAP.
What it is,
that's
RAP.
It.
Yeah. And
rental assistance.
Yeah.
And it's gotten, it works well to get people out of homeless shelters, but the question I had was if the state.
The state has proposed to cut a number of different things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was up in Albany about a month ago, and the one thing that had me reeling is they come down and go, well, first thing we're going to do is we're going to pay all your family assistance cases out of 100% federal TANF money. Well, that's good. Where's the catch? The catch was we're going to reduce our contribution to the safety net program. We're going to reduce it down to 30%. By the way, we're going to reduce our contribution to the adoption subsidy program from 75% or 73.5% to 62%, which is a significant amount of money. I have a problem with that because they're saying, well, we want to support adoptions, which is really, if you can't put a child back with their family, the next thing you want to do is have some sort of idea of permanency. Obviously, adoption is it. Well, now we're going to have, you know, the guardianship program, which may, this is kind of exciting because I think that it sort of helps with sort of extended families without having to terminate parental rights. So I think that there's a place for it, and it should be interesting how that goes forward. But if you say, okay, we want adoptions, but as the state, and the state felt so serious about it at one point, they were paying 75% of it. So they were basically telling counties, it's not going to be a burden on you financially to do this. This is the end state that we
Isn't
want.
The cost of the adoption?
That's subsidies.
Adopt,
you adopt the kid, you get, you get a subsidy for the child until the child reaches the age of maturity. And so now they're starting to walk away from it. And my feeling is that in some very unintended way, they've just created this perverse disincentive not to push adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the counties are going to have to put up a significantly greater amount of money to pay for it at a period of time in which we're all financially strapped.
Out, so. This is a mandated program?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. So the
required by federal law. That
complete cost shift.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a cost shift. It's a major cost shifting. So they're going to do that. They're going to do it with the safety net program. And then they go, oh, by the way, we're also going to raise the public assistance grants, which we haven't done in a long time. That's a good thing. But at the same time they're going to raise it 10%, they're reducing their share of having to pay for it.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
So it's like, you know, it's sleight of hand or three-card money, you know.
Yes.
Three-card money.
Shell games.
State stuff.
Unfunded mandates.
Yeah, unfunded mandates. There's others there. There's the sort of preventive service programs, COPS, which they decided not only they're not going to fund it, but they're going to defund it retroactive to October 1, 2010.
Cool.
So
all the money you've already outlaid, you're not going to get
right. So it's sort of, you know, I mean, you think this sort of stuff, you know, was created by George Orwell or something like that in its sort of, you know, application. But so, and then he said, well, we won't get rid of it all the way. What we're going to do is we're going to take all these sort of programs and there's a whole list of them. We're going to put them all together and then we're going to cut them in half, and then we're going to put what's left out there for all the counties to bid on as a grant. So basically, all we're going to fight like dogs, you know, over the scraps that are left.
But they'll put a floor on it for Onondaga County and Oswego and Oswego.
Well,
and
my real concern is the colossus that sits astride of the Hudson south of us, you know. How are we going to compete with them? You know, the money will be out there. They can afford to have people write grants. They have people that do that already. They're going to come up with all this. By the time that they get finished digesting what they have, what's left for us? I mean, that's, you want to get to the definition of politics, you know, of who gets what and how do you slice the pie. Well, we'll make the pie smaller, and then you'll all have to fight over it, and some of you won't even get a slice. Yeah, you're right. And maybe some of the upstate counties will complain by saying, hey, we got to get something, you know.
They'll get a mandated piece. I love it. It's great stuff. Wonderful.
But not good for Westchester. They'll turn around to us, unfortunately, and say,
we're rich.
You guys can, you're rich, and you can afford it. And we're not, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Facing budget deficits.
You got it? Okay, Ms. Meyer.
How do you feel staff-wise? Because you did come in, I guess, just at the time that we were having such an exodus of people due to, you know, early retirement and both the county and state.
Yes.
levels.
Of course.
I mean, but affecting our employees. How do you feel staff-wise in your department now?
I still have an awful lot of people that have lots of experience.
Okay.
And I also looked at the people that we're hiring. We do get to raid some of the more experienced, and we get to pick of the litter as far as some of the people that come out of New York City's ACS.
Because they would prefer to work up here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Many of them may live up here, you know, so it's more convenient for them. And, you know, it may also offer an opportunity of advancement and stuff like that, you know, so they may like that as well. So, but I've gone to all the district offices, and I have noticed that, you know, we still have a lot of very seasoned.
So not a huge brain drain.
No, my actual concern at that point is succession planning. In other words, if I have all these people who have lots of experience and lots of years in service, at some point they're all going to want to retire. What do I do in the meantime?
Right.
You know, about bringing on new blood and actually having, you know, the ability to sort of incorporate those people while we get this sort of knowledge transfer. I don't think they had that opportunity last year when all that happened.
No, because it was so fast, right?
Fortunately, there was enough people left to sort of carry on, but it's not. And I understand why it was done. I mean, you know, the alternatives would have also been as equally grim, you know. Yeah. So it was sort of seen as a more humane way to sort of manage your workforce. But does it get you right-sized all of a sudden? You know, it's going to be real hard adjustments and stuff like that. And, you know, you want to talk about it. I mean, you know, I'm just managing the operation, to me, is probably where, you know, some of the hits were taken. And you know, I just want to make sure that I have the ability to sort of, you know, run this department the way it should be run. You know, I can do this for a while. You know, and I'm pretty good at it. But you know, I can't you know do this 24/7,
no.
7 days a week. You know, 365. It, at some point, something
you'll be in need of social services.
Well, yeah, community
you know, or you'll be in need of community.
So I get my proxy field.
Oh, we need three.
So we need three. All right. So, thank you. That answers.
Okay. Yeah. No, we've done our good deed for the day. We'll confirm you, and we appreciate your coming by.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time.
Okay. Good to meet you again.
Thank you.
I don't know if we ever sent that down. That's the state. The state has to approve the credentials. So.
Okay.
The state did.
Yeah, I know, but I just want to make sure you guys got the.
I appreciate it. I'll put it on file with the everything else.
We have a motion for Mr. Nona.
Second.
Second for Ms. Myers. All in favor say aye.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Approved. Thank you very much. We have.
No, we have some.
John has to ask that he be counted in the vote. Is that
he has asked we be counted in all votes in favor.
We just need to quickly redo these reappointments.
No, I'm working there. Come here.
No, John just asked. What do we need?
For, Patty Pickle.
All right. I don't have any problems. Items 4 through 13 are reappointments of one sort or another. Can I have a block motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Second by Ms. Myers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, he'll be recorded as individual aye votes, 3-0.
Perfect.
He has to go first? There's a pile.
Yeah. I have to sign them all?
Yep.
I think it's a good block votes.
Well, the vote was cast.
The resolution that I'm on.
Signatures are not.
And I still have to do, I didn't know that Mr. McGuire was coming, so I'll get a resolution typed up and get you guys to sign it.
I guess they had to do it. I mean, I guess that there was an immediacy. While you're signing, I would like to...
What immediacy for what?
I guess to do him.
McGuire?
To approve the minutes of January 10 and February 28.
Thank you.
In favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you
very much.
John, thank you very much for signing these.
You're welcome.
Good luck. I know I've met her before. I must have been through Sierra Club.
I thought I had seen her testifying on the big deal time when we were doing the resetting up of the Ag District. I thought she had been in because I remember this horse farm lady from Yorktown.
Can I say we're adjourned?
Yeah.
Moved by Mr. Nunn, second by Ms. Myers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. We are